what's up? This is Tsunami Exclusive Interviews, and today we are with a very special guest, one of my dream guests. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, wow, dream guest.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah,
I'm super flattered, dude.
I've been following you for a while.
Wow. Yeah, my name is Christian Baltazar. I'm a podcaster. I'm the host of It Can't Be That Bad podcast, and I'm a singer. I'm just a goofy guy. I'd like to say, I don't really know how to introduce myself. It's so weird being on this side, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a creative, and I just like to be doing stuff, man.
For sure, for sure. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Pittsburgh, California, and I moved out to Benicia in the 7th grade, and now I reside in Vallejo, so Bay Area.
For sure, for sure. So thank you for coming all the way to Sacramento. Where can we find you at on social media?
On social media, you can find me at ICBTB Podcast. That's just the acronym for It Can't Be That Bad. Or if you want to follow my account, my personal account, Christian has asthma. I do have asthma, so that's the thing. I forgot to bring my inhaler, so if I have an asthma attack, it's your responsibility to save me, man.
Yeah, don't worry, got the ambulance on speed dial. So do you want to describe what you do as a creative in California?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm a host of this podcast where I interview and just converse with other creatives, whether they be singers, rappers, comedians, artists, longtime friends that, you know, aren't really on social media like that, but I just want to shoot the shit with, or just creatives all around, dude. Like, people are so interesting. And what I've realized growing up is that I like to talk to people. You know, I think it's kind of like a dying art form. You go out, you get a cup of coffee. Everyone's too nervous or has too low of a social battery to ask the barista how their day is. I've always been that kid that's been like, how's your day? Genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with having that kind of knack for just like human interaction, like, it slowly turned into building a podcast. I started off the podcast with one of my best homies, shout out to Alejandro Middleton. And it started off in the way where, you know, just two dumb dudes are just like, man, we're so funny. We should start a podcast. And so the podcast originally started off as a podcast for bad movies, defending bad movies, hence the name, It Can't Be That Bad. And then slowly it turned into us kind of interviewing our friends. And then slowly it turned into us, like, not talking about movies anymore, because there's only so many Adam Sandler movies you could talk about without, like, you know, running out of stuff. And it was just, like, more interesting to just have homies come over and to just have, like, singers and artists come over and, like, talk to them about their craft. And then, like, now it's become what it is now. And I was just talking to you before this interview, and I was saying, like, it's hard to be aware of how much you've done, because you're, like, in the thick of it, you know? You live your life in your shoes.
You're constantly doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you're constantly doing it. And I don't know, you just straight up showed me, like, what ChatGPT knows about me on the internet. And,
yeah,
like, ChatGPT's, like, making me blush, saying,
oh, no, it was, like, with over 430 episodes, this and that. And I'm like, whoa, wow. That's, like, I can believe it. How long have you been doing this?
Since 2019, man. And I always had in the back of my mind, like, this kind of, like, five-year rule, like, regardless of where it was, I was just like, let's see where we're at. If I'm still loving it, I'm gonna keep going. If it's gone in a direction where I think it's opening some doors and, like, you know, really, really doing something, then let's keep doing it. And then, like, that's around the time, like, the momentum of the show kind of pivoted. Like, I've been blessed to have some pretty notable guests in my studio, and oftentimes it's hard for me to, like, separate me from myself to just be able to, like, realize, wow, like, I'm in the room with people like Adrian Marcel, La Russell, Nefta Faro, and I'm just a dorky guy, you know. I'm a big old goob, dude.
Yeah
But yeah, I mean, like, it's the imposter syndrome that every creative, like, faces.
Every artist, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But you just got to be thinking to yourself, like, no, I deserve to be in these rooms. I deserve to be chopping it up with this mm-hmm. person.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's...
like they wouldn't be there if they didn't see it as worth it, you know, to speak with them.
Yeah, like, they saw something in it. And, like, I should definitely pat myself on the back. And you should pat yourself on the back, too. You got a dope setup here, dude.
Yeah, like, definitely work on it. I haven't even really dropped any episodes with this setup yet, but mm-hmm. I have about 10 coming out.
So, wow.
Yeah.
See, that's what
you
did.
I realize I'm just going to do film, like a season, and then focus on editing after, because it's kind of hard to edit and then film and then edit and then film.
So. Oh, I get that. I mean, you're talking to the guy that just edits and then films. I edit to release it, mm-hmm. as opposed to you got to
backlog. No, yeah. That's what I usually do. I'm trying to, I'm shifting it up a little bit.
Nice.
How often do you release episodes?
I try to do it every week. There have been some weeks where, like, episodes come out late, but I have to kind of be, like, gentle on my mental, or...
Yeah, for sure.
I have... What was that?
So you're not a robot.
I'm not a robot, man. I'm, like, I'm a human. I'm a partner to my fiance. I'm a son to my mother. I'm a brother to my brother. I'm a friend to my friends. And so... As important as this platform is to me, and like as consistent as I try to be with the work, and like I know that I'm a hard worker and I do it well and I'm efficient, if I will never not prioritize my loved ones, and like with time is finite, and I understand that for me to prioritize them, I need to like sacrifice some time, and so with that comes like some episodes coming out late, but. The episodes still come out. So, like, once a week is basically when they come out.
For sure, for sure. How do you keep the content fresh and engaging with so many episodes, you know?
I have to entertain myself, man. It has to be good to me. I listen to the entire episode. I know there's a lot of podcasters out there that will just record, they won't edit, and they just put that thing out. I sit down, I listen to the entire conversation that I had with whoever, no matter how much it makes me cringe because I hate listening to my voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen to it because I want to make sure that it's a fun, engaging conversation. I want to make sure that the guests that I'm spotlighting, like that I'm this episode's doing them justice.
Yeah, for sure.
And so in not only the hosting process do I have to make them feel comfortable, but in the editing process, I have to like... make sure, like, is this a good episode? Is this the flow that I want to go with? Would this make them proud? Is this something they want to post on their page? And then I mm-hmm. think about their friends and their families. Like, is this something that they would want to show to their friends and families? And I keep it fresh and engaging through these editing processes. Like, I don't know if you've seen any full episodes, but, like, I do some, like, edit. I do, like, slight zoom-ins or, like, little edits.
I've been seeing just the clips, and I see, like, all the different keyframes of, like, zoom-in, zoom-outs, like, jump cuts. I'm just like, wow, like, it's really inspiring having themes pop up on the screen, different graphics. Like, mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. I mean,
I noticed, like, the amount of effort it takes, you know, and that's, like, a lot for it. Each and every single, you know, episode.
It's a lot, dude. But then it's those little things that mean a lot.
Not really, yeah.
It's
people notice that quality.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me right now, like that's flattering, dude.
Especially like, as someone who's been getting into podcasting and editing, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Looking at yours, I'm like, this is how my shit should look. I'm like, I'm embarrassed, you know. So definitely looking at yours helps me. In multiple different ways, and just like, wow, like he's really doing his. Guess justice, you know.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I'm glad to inspire, and we're all just gonna find our different flavors along the way, you know. Mm-hmm. My particular flavor is just like weird zoom ins or like jump cuts and whatnot. Because I'm a silly dude at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite part about doing this is that I'm not your typical interviewer. I actually don't like calling my podcasts interviews sometimes because I think they're more like conversational. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's something special about taking some people's favorite Bay Area rappers, sitting them down, and then like pulling the funny out of them, you know? Sometimes we don't get to see how funny La Russell is, right? Sometimes we don't get to see how funny Neff the Pharaoh is. But I like to pride myself into just being a normal guy that wants to laser in like about like this funny story in your childhood, you know? Obviously, we're going to talk about your music. I'll talk about your discography. I'll talk about this and that. But I think the most interesting part about people are the most relatable parts. Tell me about that time that you fell off your bike in front of a crowd of people, like, you know, in your neighborhood. That shit's so funny to me.
That's actually really interesting because my podcasts are not funny. No, a little bit, you know, little moments here and there. But really, I tend to focus purely on, like, the creativity of the individual, their inspirations, like, what they're working on, what inspires them to keep going, things like that. But I do want to incorporate more funny. And I was also thinking, like, editing is, like, an art form in itself. Like, you can really express your, like, yourself and your personality through editing. Like you said, you're, like, a silly, goofy guy, so your editing kind of reflects that, you know? I don't think people respect editing enough as, like, an art form, you know? So...
Wow, yeah. There's, like, small nuances that really showcase an editor's personality in a 30-second clip. So, but also, like, yeah, you were saying that your podcasts aren't that funny. Sometimes they are. Doesn't have to be funny. I mean, like, that's just, once again, like, your flavor. That's your texture, dude. So
I've really been inspired by, like, kind of, like, these Vice documentaries, you know, where they go around to different places in the world, interviewing different people, just speaking on different topics. And that's kind of, that's my ultimate goal, is to be able to travel and just document different happenings in the world, you know, different cultures, religions, situations, you know. So this is just the start of it.
Nice, dude. I like your vibe. You're very, like, you're super namaste. You're like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Study all different types of... I need my own interviews sometimes so y'all can really know what I'm about. But, yeah, I really love to study different cultures and things like
that. That's dope, dude.
What's a particularly memorable or unexpected moment from one of your episodes? And you probably have hundreds of these, but what's something that comes to the top of your mind?
I had this guest named Frack. Frack, I don't know if you know him, but if you don't, for sure,
I'm scared already.
What's up?
Frack?
Yeah, he's a rapper from Frisco.
Oh, nice.
Considerably, like, one of the best freestyle rappers in the game right now. He does this thing, like, where he's a dope, like, writer, too, and he has, like, dope written songs, but it's a common thing for him to, like, go to an event, and then, like, he'll get 10 random words from the crowd, and he'll just freestyle and make it make sense to these 10 random words. I'm a comedy improv guy. I like to think of things off the top of my dome. With that, I've definitely, like, had those moments in high school or in early college where I'm in the back seat freestyling with the homies, you know, after some drinks, after some smoking.
you can cuss on the podcast.
Yeah, dude. And so I love to freestyle. And so to be able to, like, have this dope freestyle rapper come through to my studio, we converse, I interview him, and at the end, he says, like, let's swap fours. And, like, me, him, and my other homie Carlos, we just were able to, like, keep up, I would say. And it's those moments where, like, obviously I don't take it seriously.
Well, where it's like making magic right there. You
know? It's creating magic, dude. But I'm not a rapper. I don't got nothing out on Spotify.
I didn't
like
know
that.
Even freestyle. I saw you more as, like, a singer from your main.
Yeah, I'm for sure more like I take singing way more seriously. Freestyling is like I'm not saying anything prolific,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, pop up at some open mics.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be able to perform more. But yeah, that was like that's a moment that was like really, like, surprising and beautiful. It's just like, man, like, I'm freestyling with Frack right now. This is a cool thing. And then afterwards, he, like, told me that he was going to go to this joint in Oakland at this club called the Continental Club. He said there's, like, a freestyle event happening there. And then he was like, you should pull up. And I said, yeah, I think I might. And you know when you invite someone to something and they're just like, yeah, I might pull up. The chances of, like, that person pulling up is, like, 5%. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be better about my word, be a man of my word, where I say, like, hey, I'm going to go to this thing. All right, bet. I'll see you there. So I went to that thing, got to freestyle in front of, like, hundreds of people, and it was just this beautiful moment, dude.
Dope.
Yeah, like, this butterfly effect that wouldn't have happened unless if I didn't have Frack on the podcast.
For Sure, for sure. How do you approach selecting guests? Like, what qualities do you look for a compelling interview?
How do I approach them?
Or just like, what type of guests do you look for?
Ooh.
Like, what's your like, what when you see a page or something, you're like, oh, I want that. I want that person on my podcast.
It's an amalgamation of things. Baseline, I have to like their music. If they're an artist, I have to like their music. And it doesn't matter what their following is. They could have like 200 to 500 followers. But if they have like, if I can tell that they're very talented, even if they're like fresh in the game, then that's a factor. Another factor is like their vibe. They're just like their personality. Like, is this someone that I want to invite into my home? You know, my studio is in my place of Zen. It's like, you're going to know where I live when I invite you to my studio. Do I trust you? Are you a person that I want to be sitting in front of for about an hour to an hour and a half and like talking to you? This podcast is kind of like it's like this weird kind of opportunity to like make new friends, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Especially like the older you get and you're not going out as much. Like, I'm 31 years old. Like, I have no business like really bar hopping as much as I used to, or going to the club and whatnot, or like sitting at a coffee shop and striking up conversations with strangers. I don't do that as much. But like, to have quality conversations, like, there's something different about like getting to know a person in an uninterrupted, candid hour and a half conversation, as opposed to like pulling up to an event in Oakland where all these creatives are at and being like, yo, and like dapping someone up and being like, yo, I love your music, this is super cool. And like, they say, thank you so much. And then like, you're not really cool with that person. But when you share like a conversation and like moments, even when the cameras are off, before we start recording or after we're done recording, those are like real moments where like you built this connection with whoever it may be. Where now when I do see you at an event in Oakland and like I say what's up to you, now I truly do feel like I've made a new friend.
Yeah, that's what I noticed about doing the interviews too. Like, a complete stranger could come in and by the time they leave, they're like a homie, you know? And just the podcast interviews or just the podcast in general, they're different from normal conversations because they're extended conversations where you're asking questions. If you're talking to the homie, you're not going to ask them like 10 different like complex questions. You know, they're really just going to be chilling on, you know, what'd you do today, something like that, or maybe talk about the state of the world or something like that. But when you have in like a podcast or an interview, you're really like just getting into depth between you and the other person's personality, their career, like love, like whatever their passions, you know.
You cut the small talk. You shave off the fat in conversations. When you're given this reason to have a conversation with intention, then like everything you're saying has weight now.
For sure.
As opposed to like if we had just ran into each other real quick at the gym or wherever, like our time is short. We gotta come up with some small talk maybe that that doesn't really mean as much. But now, like, you know, you have questions prepped, and like me with my podcast, I have like shit prepped in my brain. There's intention with like the conversation, and then like so much more is taken from that, and then you build a connection quicker than you would than if the cameras were off.
For sure. So let's dive into your music a little bit. What is your musical background? Like, what inspired you to do music?
My dad.
Your dad.
In Filipino culture, karaoke is, it's part of you, you know? It's part of the culture. It's a rite of passage. If you're a non-Filipino coming to a Filipino party, karaoke is a rite of passage.
Speaking of Japan also, I'm pretty sure it's a Japanese word.
Yeah, dude.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Supposedly in both Japan and the Philippines, they have just karaoke bars everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, way more prevalent than it is like here at the city. My dad is a singer, and he sang a lot of karaoke growing up, and naturally, when I was a kid, I gravitated toward that. My mom claims that I started singing when I was 2 years old when she was driving me around, and I call bullshit on that because I'm 2 years old. I can't even English properly. She thinks that I'm singing a full song. I'm like, that's so silly. But supposedly I was. And my dad listened to a lot of oldies, like a lot of Frank Sinatra, a lot of like Dean Martin, a lot of the Rat Pack, a lot of doo-wop. And so like that's like what my main jam is. Like if you were to ask me to sing songs, it'd be like old songs. Like that's kind of what I enjoy singing the most. That's what I think when I'm singing, it's probably the most sonically pleasing to others is that, because I grew up with that. Obviously, like I'll try to sing, I love singing like soul and R&B, like John Legend and I don't know, Alicia Keys if I could do the run, or you know, some Bruno Mars if I could hit the notes that high. But I'm not as comfortable there. But yeah, dude, music's dope. Being able to listen to it is, you know, I mean, I'm sure you love music. No, being able to listen to music, that kind of feeling is irreplaceable. It can change your mood from like bleak to bright instantly. Now that's just digesting music. Imagine how great it feels to be able to produce that, you know? I mean, I'm not like a, I don't consider myself like a, like an artist, because I don't write my own songs or put them out. I've written songs, I don't put them out. Imposter syndrome, that's a whole other conversation. But even just from the songs that I cover and sing, and like when I sing to myself or if I sing for others, like in an intimate setting, like that feeling is irreplaceable. Yeah, man, there's nothing like it in the world. Yeah.
For sure. Thank you for that. What's your creative process behind songwriting and creating music?
Like, songwriting.
Do you start with like a tune first, or do you start with lyrics?
That's a good question. So naturally, I'm more of like a melody type of guy. So I'll start with the tune. I'll hum a melody or a hook in my head, and then I'll figure out the words later. With that, writing was easier for me in the past when I was like heartbroken or like, you know, going through it.
Had a little bit more inspiration.
Yeah, dude, because I'm a simpy guy, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I can only really write decently like if I'm hurting. But now I've been in a relationship for like 11 years. So it's kind of hard to like fabricate like
maybe you could write about the love instead of hurt.
I know, like some happy music and whatnot. And I've definitely tried. I just don't put it out. And also I got homies that are like really, really, really good musicians. And so like imposter syndrome hits me hard because I never think like, oh, these chords are not good enough, or like this melody's not good enough. But I gotta separate myself from that.
Well, I look at your page and I'm like, wow, damn, John Legend.
Dude, so flattering, man. That's a, yeah, that's a big compliment.
I mean, just to people, to a lot of people aren't particularly singers nowadays. More people dive into rap or just other forms of like media, you know. But like singing, it's like, it's almost like a dying art form, you know, especially for men.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Like it's a lot more rare for me to run into like male singers. Yeah. Like I'm trying to think of like male singers that I've had on the podcast, maybe like Adrian Marcel, but other than that, like not many, like a lot of rappers, female singers, it's still kind of prevalent, but yeah, I think I pride myself in being able to, sing as a guy, you know? They said that, I don't know why it is that way. Maybe it's like more of like,
do you face any stigmas as a male who sings?
Yeah, do I face any?
Yeah. You ever get any?
I think, well, I did a little bit of theater, and like I did, and with theater comes singing, and then like, you know, it's definitely a softer trait, you know, especially being a brown male where culturally you're expected to be masculine, and there's like machismo that comes with it. Me being this like silly goofy songbird that cries every week is kind of like not the norm. And so yeah, I face some like stigmas regarding that, like especially the types of songs that I sing. You know, I sing like a lot of like synthy songs, you know, like I'm trying to feel when I sing. And so definitely like I've faced that from like strangers and like not really loved ones really, you know, they love that I sing. And so, yeah.
How is masculinity viewed in Filipino culture?
Interesting. It's an interesting one because like in ways you're expected to be the man of the house if my dad wasn't present, or you got to be a strong brown man, right? Mm-hmm. It's Filipino culture can be very traditional, mm-hmm. where the man is supposed to come home from working. The man comes home from hunting, and then the women have food ready to eat, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a weird upcoming because with that expectation, I also grew up with a lot of like female cousins. You know, my grandparents had 10 kids, and of those 10 kids, all of them had like 3 or more kids. And so that means I have like 30 or more cousins. And of those 30 or more cousins, about 80% of them were girls. And so I'm like one of like 10 girls, or I'm one, and then every other, one in 10 cousins. I'm the guy, and am I doing the math right? Yes. Anyway, a bunch of girls. I was freaking out. I was just like, I'm one of 10 girls. Had a bunch of women in my life. And when you have a bunch of women in your life, you learn to kind of be transparent with your emotions because they're transparent with emotions.
Yeah.
Women are softer. They feel more. They're not embarrassed to feel, mm-hmm. as opposed to like the guy cousins that I have, especially the older guy cousins that I have, they would be like, they'd be from Vallejo. They'd be getting into fights and whatnot. They'd be from like Pittsburgh, Antioch. They'd be getting into fights. They'd be like, you know, they kind of like have their chest puffs out. And I'm just this like, what do you call it? This black sheep where I'm a bit different. I do sing. I do cry. I do talk about my feelings. I do hang out with the girls in my family, and then like we do, I don't know, just like things that like your typical like boy, I wouldn't play in the dirt like other boys would. I'd be like inside the house playing with my action figures while my female cousins were playing with the Barbies, and sometimes we'd all play together. And so like now I have this like super creative imagination. I'm not into sports, you know? As much as I wish I was into sports because I feel left out whenever the sports conversations mm-hmm. come up, I'm not going to force myself to become this person that I'm not, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not all of a sudden going to be into football. Yeah. What was that?
Staying true to yourself.
I'm trying, dude. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still do. I do like basketball a little bit, but I'm not keeping up with it. But, you know, if I were to choose my favorite sport, that would be the one. But even then, like you asked me who my favorite basketball player is today.
Anime.
What's up?
Sports anime.
No, but those look dope. Like the volleyball ones.
You gotta check out Blue Lock, soccer, the Kurokono Basket, basketball,
mm-hmm.
Haikyuu. That's the volleyball one.
Okay, you know, yeah.
But, there's track. There's pretty much every sport, you know, they've done. It's pretty interesting.
Dude, anime's done it all. It's a... I've seen
it actually helped me get into the sports because, you know, they do bring in some of, like, you know, they bring in concepts from the sports, and then they're using, like, the rule systems on the sports, you know. But they're just adding, like, a storyline, and, you know, it's obviously anime, it's teledramatic, you know.
Of course.
You got niggas, like, doing powers and shit.
Uh-huh.
And, but, like, they're taking real basketball concepts, like, say, for basketball, they're taking real basketball concepts and just, like, taking it to the next level. But then mm-hmm. it really makes you interested because, like, oh, wow, people really, like, do something like this in basketball. And then, you know, can kind of, like, you can look up highlights where someone did something that was, like, kind of like in the anime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
See, that's dope. I mean, the fact that you could learn about sports through an anime.
Yeah.
Is really cool.
I learned a hell of a lot about soccer. Like I'm like super into soccer now. Not super into it, but like a lot more into soccer now than I was before because of like the Blue Lock anime.
See, that's so cool. And so now, like whenever like the World Series comes about, like you're tapped in.
So I just watched it recently. So I think when the next time it comes around, I'm probably going to be like more tapped in. But like, I was definitely like looking at some more stuff, you know, and I was looking at the Japanese team because the Japanese team actually had a uniform that was reminiscent of like the anime. Mm-hmm. Right. And like in the anime, they're trying to like become like the best the best team in Japan so they can like become like the best team in the world. So it was just kind of like it was very like the people in the real life team were living like the anime, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool.
That's dope, dude.
And they did really, really, really good in the world. I forget what they call it. See, I'm not even that much of a soccer fan. I don't know what they call it. You feel me? But they did. I was keeping up, and like they really like made it to like almost like, you know, they gained some respect on the name.
Wow.
And I like it definitely had like that little anime had something to do with it. It's pretty crazy.
That's cool, dude.
They did the best that they ever did in the World Series, you know, so.
Shit, look at that, man. Oh, this camera turned off, by the way.
It's the max recording time. Let's
see. Perfect.
In between questions, perfect. Are there any musical collaborations or performances that stand out in your career? I mean, you mentioned your performance with the event that Frack invited you at, you know, for hundreds of people. But
oh, that's cool. I mean, that's like a drop-in type of thing. So, like, and, you know, once again, I'm not super serious about freestyle rapping. That's just like a cool side quest. When I was in college, I was a part of this, like, five-piece a cappella group. So there was, like, yeah, man, like, we were a five part vocal band, and we were gigging a lot, and that was cool because like being a singer and singing songs on my own like is really dope, but to do it in a collaborative sense and like harmony done well is fucking beautiful, dude. And especially when there's just like five people, like to be in a choir, that's cool, that's like a wall of sound. But imagine like a five-person a cappella group where like I'm the only person on my part, that person's the only person on her part, yeah. You know?
The tenor, the bass.
Exactly, yes.
It all comes together, it's amazing.
Yeah, man, I was the tenor, we had a bass, we had a soprano, we had an alto, and we had a beatboxer. And so we were having like these four-part, sometimes five-part harmonies when the beatboxer would sing. And that was probably one of the biggest musical challenges in my life, you know? You grow up as a singer, singing melodies, singing the solo parts to all of these songs, right? But then once to learn how to harmonize while someone else is singing the melody over you is one of the hardest things ever. And when you do it correctly, it's beautiful. And we used to do gigs, we used to do competitions where we perform in front of hundreds of people, dude. And once again, that feeling's irreplaceable. Like when you can't even see the crowd because you're singing in a big auditorium and like you had this moment to perform something that you've been working toward for months at this competition and you do it well and you do it with the people that you love, you know, these people that you sing with, you could become best friends with, man. Like it's those moments, like, and I've talked to like artists about this. I'm like, they start to become homies with like the producers or the people that they're collabing with because they're spending hours in the studio. They're at the studio at 2 a.m. being delirious. Have you ever been kicked it with like your homies when you're delirious and you have that filter, that social filter that you have is not there and you guys are just saying the craziest shit? Mm-hmm. That's what that was for like that a cappella group, because wow. We knew each other's deepest, darkest secrets, and we knew each other at our lowest and our highest, and the crazy shit that we would spew out of our mouths. But on top of that, we were able to make some beautiful music and perform it. And so like we were gigging a bunch, and then COVID hit and one of our members got hit with like long-term COVID, and then we just had to stop, dude. And so it's a huge bummer. She's fine now, but like, you know, the momentum definitely stopped. That was like back in 2020. So
uh-oh. Was there a name for the group?
The name for the group was Levels of Vocal Expression, which is became an acronym for LOVE.
Wow.
Because around the time that we had formed it was in 2016 when the world was kind of in disarray. And so, like, we, a lot of our intention as a group and a lot of the songs that we wrote for the group, the original songs, were to just kind of, like, we're in this direction of, like, you know, love for each other, not in a romantic sense, but love for the world.
For sure. Does your experience as a musician influence your podcast hosting in any kind of way?
Yeah. Yes. Because I feel like, in a way, I've developed a language that, like, only musicians know, so that I could ask questions to these artists, these musical artists, that only another, like, musical artist would know, mm-hmm. right? I understand the jargon. I know how to dig deeper. I know, I feel like I've learned to search for certain aspects in their discography and ask questions about that than I would if I didn't understand music the way that I do, right?
For sure, yeah.
So it's definitely helped.
What type of research process do you do before you interview a guest?
I like to listen to, I like to see if they have other podcasts, if they've done other podcasts. And with those podcasts, I'll take information, and I'll also avoid asking questions that were asked on that podcast, you know?
That's really good.
Yeah, because I don't want to be the guy that asks an artist for the 300th time, how did they get into it? You know, I want to ask the artist once again. I take pride in, like, being able to ask them shit about their, like, childhood that I had to do research for, about this small little thing that they didn't think that it, a little bit, but not so far in, yeah, because yeah. Nardwuar, oh, gosh, scares the shit out of some people, yeah. Dude. Mm-hmm. They're just like, how do you know what the name of my first grade teacher? Like, yeah, that's terrifying.
Literally, yeah.
But there's respect for that. Mm. Yeah, man, I'm just trying to be that podcaster that, like, when you watch that episode, it's unlike any other interview that that person has gone through. I want my podcast to be where after the interview, they say, damn, that was, like, the best podcast or interview that I've ever
done. That a lot of times. It's my favorite feeling. I'm like, wow.
Such a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you're great at this. Like, this whole setup, you navigate with quality. It's a big deal, dude. I've said it before. Anyone can be, like, a dude with cameras and a dude with mics. And we're trying not to be that.
No, literally, yeah.
We're beyond that.
Yeah, I'm trying.
This is all supplemental.
Thank you. Appreciate that. How has the Bay Area's diverse culture and artistic community influenced your podcast content and style? Man, these ChatGPT questions are heavy.
That's a deep question. I gotta take a sip of water for that. The Bay Area is different, dude. I think it affects it without me having to do any work, because the people that come through, they're so interesting already. There's this kind of dichotomy of, like, even though we're all so different and diverse from each other, we're cut from the same cloth, mm-hmm. you know?
Like California cloth.
Yeah, man.
Where it's like we're all, like, unique.
We're all unique, like, and we're all not judgmental. I think with the Bay Area, what I like about, like, the music scene or the creative scene is that it's so collaborative as opposed to competitive, you know? I hear a lot of stories about, like, artists in L.A. where it's, like, a little more cutthroat, but, like, in...
Yeah, out here, too, it's not... can get pretty, like, and not even, like, it's hard to even get big in sex with the fact that people are, like, competing with each other. It's like, we should be collabing to get SAC more on the map, because we're, you know, we're all crabs in the bucket, and no one's gonna get out the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's enough, in terms of music, there's enough ears in the world to be able to listen to everyone's music, you know? It's not competitive. It's not like if I find one artist, I'm gonna forget about another artist. If I think one artist is better than the other one, doesn't necessarily mean that I think this other artist is shit. In the Bay Area, like, it's this whole community, dude. I feel like the more guests I have on, I'm just collecting the members of the Avengers, dude. Everyone has their side story, and, like, it's this whole cinematic universe, right? Where, like, I'll have, I'll have an artist on, and then like I'll find out that like back in 2018 this artist had done a feature for this other artist that I'm gonna have on later on, or this artist has like a whole album with this other artist. Like, it's this whole thing. But to get back to your question, like, with the Bay Area, like, diversity, I feel like, helps the show keep it fresh. To answer the question a few questions ago, right? Mm-hmm. It's not even me that keeps it fresh, dude. It's like the rotating guests, dude. Like, it never gets old.
That's the best thing about having a guest-based podcast.
You know? Yeah, dude. Because it could get kind of tough, like, having, like, a...
So the people who just do it with them and another person every single time, so they have to come up with different conversation topics. That's a completely different thing, rather than when you invite someone on. It's like, it's going to be a different conversation because it's a different person. You know?
Yeah, dude. When I was doing it with my homie, like, it was so fun. We had incredible chemistry. Like, he was super chaotic, mm-hmm. In such a comedic way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's my best friend that I've known since middle school. We know everything about each other. And so, like, it's hard to keep it fresh. You have to, you know, you gotta be like, you're telling a story, and he'll be like, I know this about you already. But now he has to, like, pretend like he hasn't heard it before. Even though, like, maybe 100 episodes.
Reminds me of Good Mythical Morning, you know. Two best friends. Yeah. Just doing their content. And they've done a lot of different things over the years to keep it fresh, you know. Like, now they're doing cooking episodes, and game shows and stuff, like little mini game shows and stuff like that. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's ways to do it, man. There are ways to keep it fresh. It is a bit of a hurdle, but having rotating guests for sure helps.
Who has inspired your work as a podcaster or musician?
Okay. In that order, for podcasting, some of my favorite podcasters are... I love Theo Von. Theo Von is this comedian who's super funny. What I like about him is that he, very similarly to me, or what I've taken from him, is that he weaves in and out of, like, conversation and interview. And also, he's just, like, this normal guy. And he's not trying to be a smart guy. You know, there's some journalists out there that try to be very, like, prolific and be like, hey, tell me about this one time. You know, I'm not like that. I'm just like a dude just asking you about your life. Mm-hmm. This guy's a normal guy talking to, like, really big guests. Another one for, like, my editing aspect, I would say, is Rick Glassman. So he runs this podcast called Take Your Shoes Off. Highly recommend his, if you want to be inspired about editing and, like, see jump cuts and, like, really fine attention to detail in a comedic fashion, check out Take Your Shoes Off with Rick Glassman, because that's what inspired me to have images slide in and out of my clips and in and out of my videos and do these zoom-ins, these ridiculous zoom-ins and, like, jump cuts. Like, that's all him. And so, like, I credit a lot of my editorial creativity to Rick Glassman.
Sure, I gotta check him out.
What was that? Yeah, you definitely gotta check him out. Musically, once again, my father. My father's a big one. My brother is a big one. He's not a singer, but he's, like, one of my best friends. And it makes me, like, emotional to talk about because, like, we're so different. Like, we did not get along as I was growing up. And then, like, once we've reached a certain maturity level, we just became so close. And, like, I look up to him for, like, everything. He's so smart, and he always knows what to do, and he always makes the right decision. And with singing, like, he's my biggest fan. He's always supporting me. And I have videos that other people have taken of me singing, and they pan to the crowd, and, like, it'll capture my brother's reaction to me singing. And, like, that's why I love doing it, is, like, when I do something I love for the people that I love and they love that I'm doing that, there's no better feeling in the entire world.
Sure. Wow. I appreciate that. That's a really good answer. What role does community engagement play in your podcast? How do you connect with your local audiences?
Through social media, with like, let's say, when I've had merch runs before, I do this thing, like, Or, yeah, if they're far, then I have to mail it out. But if they're nearby, then I'll come to their spot and drop it off, you know? I would like to meet the listeners. Sometimes, like, it still boggles my mind. Sometimes I'll just be around Vallejo at the gym, at the grocery store, and they'll be like, yo, you're that dude with the podcast, you know? Yo, you're Christian with the podcast. And, like, that is such a warm feeling, because sometimes, like, I'll look at my numbers and I'm like, ah, it's whatever, but, like, it's still fulfilling. But then, like, it's reaching people that I've never met before.
Yeah.
And, like, people tell me, like, I hope to one day be on the podcast. I'm a creative and, like, I'm still building right now, but I hope to be on the podcast one day. I'm like, wow, like, the fact that it's like,
people, yeah.
it's a bucket list thing for some peeps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And replying to messages and, like, just being interactive, being human, dude. Like, it's so easy to be robotic with this shit and not, like, respond. Like when you tapped in, like, I don't know how long it was, like, in my request folder. But then, like, you can just tell some people are so genuine with their approach. Like, you were very genuine with their approach. I was just like, fuck yeah, let's make this happen. And so we did. Yeah, dude, it's, I don't know, like, and then, like, asking them questions on social media, like, how can I make this show better? What guests mm-hmm. do you want on? And it's still honestly, like, something I'm working on, like, how can I create more of a community with this?
Because
mm-hmm. I'm not the most tech-savvy guy. I'm not the most, like, social media-savvy guy. I just know what I know through tribal knowledge. But yeah, working on it, and yeah.
What are some future things that you're working on, projects that you're working on currently, things that we can look forward to?
A dream project that I have in my mind is a live event, and it can't be that bad live. You want to do, like, a live event?
Yeah.
See,
like,
dude,
like,
it's...
A little, what do they call it? It's almost like a... Like a panel, you know, like a panel discussion, you know, mm-hmm. people can come sit in the audience, two people on the stage, on the mic, and stuff like that.
You should for sure do that, man. Yeah, it seems like you have the ambition and the drive to do it. Mm-hmm. It's just like finding the space and then promoting
it. It's really just getting down the audio, because I need to figure out how to record that audio clean, because mm-hmm. it'd be like on a microphone speaker speaking to the audience. So I just think that's the last thing I want to figure out with them. Mm-hmm.
There's a way to do it. I have a fourth cousin who's a sound engineer. He's the guy that helped me set up the sound from my first episode. What was that?
You have like an audio mixer and stuff.
What I use currently?
Mm-hmm.
No, right now I just use like an interface, and like he created like presets on my DAW, on my audio workbench. And so I've been using the same presets since... 2019, and I've never had to change them because
for sure.
he made them fucking immaculate. But yeah, a live event, dude. Yeah, you should definitely throw a live event. Like, I would come to that for sure.
For sure. When you're talking about a live event, what was yours gonna be more like?
I want to mix it with anything and everything that I do with this podcast. So with this podcast, it's comedy, it's music, it's interview, right? I want all of that. So I want it to kind of like be like where like obviously I'd host it.
Like and a multimedia event, almost like from different things going on.
Yeah, no, I kind of want it to be like, yeah, maybe like obviously vendors and whatnot.
Oh, because you were talking about like singers and, well, because your podcast, you said it's comedy and then it's music and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. would you have like performances?
Yes.
Like that?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I'm thinking like very much like talk show-esque, where like I'd host
mm-hmm.
and like we'd, I would open up the show with just like talking to the audience and like, you know, thanking them and whatnot. And then I would bring up the first guest. So instead, you know, like with musical performances that we go out to see, the guest comes out, they talk for a little bit, and then they sing their set. I want to sit down with the guest like this, 5 minutes, shoot the shit, have them perform one or two songs.
It's almost like a late night show and then like a performance and things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I think you should definitely do that. I feel like you could do that. almost even at Noble Cinema, if you've been there.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, I hear a lot about Noble Cinema, so. Yeah, right now I'm peeping some venues, and I'm still trying, because I want to do it right. I don't want to just throw paint at the wall, man. I want to come correct, because it's going to be like a representation of my, you know, of like my quality, dude. So
I think that's the best way to build community. Yeah. Like, you know, especially turning. It can't be that bad until like a brand and a community and like people can come together, and you know, I think that'll be a great thing.
Wow, thank you, dude. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk more. I'm excited for our rapport after this, because we could talk shop in regards to gear and to just like, yeah, as content creators.
Yeah, for sure. So one of our final questions, let's talk about, you recently went viral in Modesto.
Oh, for, Martinez.
Let's talk about that. You had a whole bunch of people in your comments mad.
Yeah. Wow, dude.
Modesto.
Yeah.
What you said?
I called it. So, first of all, thank you for bringing this up. You're the first person ever to bring it up on a public platform ever since that kind of like popped off. Dude, I'm a silly guy. I make jokes and whatnot. Sometimes comedy is not taken well, especially like if you're talking about a city where people live and where small business owners reside. But yeah, it was a joke, but I also was pulling from like what I thought was truth. So I have friends that grew up in Martinez, that live in Martinez currently, that have told me to my face, don't fuck with Martinez, or don't fuck with Martinez, we'll fuck you up. We're a bunch of strong meth heads. And she said that to me, and I'm like, oh, this is what they call it. I guess I'm not allowed to call it if I'm not a Martinez resident, but as a public apology to the city of Martinez, I love Martinez. I've been frequenting Martinez ever since I was a wee lad. I've done improv shows at the Campbell Theater for over 8 years back in the day. I constantly go to Bentley's. I shop at the thrift shops. I eat at the food there. I fucking love Vic's. I love downtown. I love your farmer's market. The people are great. The biker bar kind of scares me. But, you know, I have a few meds there. But maybe I shouldn't call it Martinez. It's a joke. I love you. Can I come back? The mayor wanted to sit down with me. It was like, let's correct some things. There's a bunch of fat, a bunch of nasty Facebook posts.
Oh my
sharing
God.
My video, oh saying, my God. Yo, get this guy. Don't let him into our city. Or like people saying like,
you're banned.
Dude, I'm getting like DMs. I'm getting threats. I'm saying, like, they're saying like, don't you ever come here. Or I'm getting like things on the opposite end where like, hey, let me bring it to my bar, meet a few of the other business owners, and let's turn things around. I'm like, are you guys gonna jump me? What's going on? I feel like if they were to watch
strong community.
What was that?
Strong community effort going on there.
Yeah, there's a whole thing. So I think they might...
not a city pride.
They might like hunt me down like Frankenstein if I were to go there. I feel like if they were to watch any of my videos or any of my other clips, that I think I'm a good guy. I think I'm like a decent human. Like I did not mean any... ill intent with it. You know, you just kind of say, you make fun of something. Oh, dude, because like now I live in Vallejo.
That's like saying like Wacramento. You know, I've definitely heard people from Sacramento be like, oh, Wacramento, you know, and then like a whole bunch of people will be like, ah.
And how do you feel about it when people say Wacramento?
I've heard it. And I can understand it. Some, you know, people don't like it here, but also my brand is trying to build city pride and city community. You know?
Gotcha.
So no longer subscribe to such thoughts, you know. But I do. I have. You know, I wouldn't be like, yeah, people don't say that. People definitely do. You know, say that. Unfortunately, because you know, Sacramento amongst its own people doesn't have the best reputation. You know? Mm-hmm. So.
Dude, Sacramento's so big. Just because like you heard something about Sacramento like in one spot shouldn't generalize.
It's so big, and it's like honestly, like There's so many different other areas like Citrus Heights, Roseville, El Dorado Hills. That's kind of just like, if you were to look on like a map, it would be included within like, you know, the greater Sacramento area. You know, people from all different areas come to Sacramento, from greater, from outside of Sacramento. So it's a much bigger community than just like downtown Sacramento. Even right now we're in Elk Grove, but then still, well, city boundaries of Sacramento. But like people will be like, you're not in Sacramento, you live in Elk Grove. Still within the, you know. But I just want to thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Dude, thanks for having me.
Amazing conversation. Thank you for the Martinez apology. Hopefully they accept and allow you redemption. I would really look forward to seeing like a Christian tour around Martinez, like a vlog, of you going around to different businesses, you know, and then kind of like, you know, even sit down with the mayor. You know,
you think I should do it?
You should do it. You should do it. But obviously, be safe. Bring a big black man if you have to. You know, bring a big black man for intimidation. But you know, obviously, I think that would be really cool. Obviously, a great way to engage with like a whole new audience. You know, for sure. And it seemed like they really wanted to not have that perception of Martinez be around, so maybe you can definitely, I think you could do a good thing by helping them
erase that.
Yeah,
you're right.
You could do a really big thing for a whole city.
I feel like
you really did something that got a whole city involved. You know, that's like when you told me even all those things got involved, I didn't even know it was that big, you know. So like, I think you could, like, you sparked something. I think you could, you know, put a little gas on that. Not in a bad way.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying. I'm not here to instigate. I'm definitely not here to instigate. It's just funny because I think they're all directing their frustration toward Modesto and like Antioch. Because they're just like, we're not the Meth Central. Methdesto is. Yeah, I'm like, now I feel bad for Modesto. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, and Crankyok. Yeah. Dude, it's like, whoa, Antioch. I'm from Pittsburgh, Antioch. You know, like, oh, no. That's just like, it's funny.
Yeah. But thank you for coming on, speaking about your inspirations, creativity, just pretty much everything. You know, big inspiration for our podcast, you know, really big interview for us. So appreciate you. Where'd you come all the way from again?
From Vallejo.
From Vallejo, yeah. Y'all heard that you came from Vallejo, so you know, put some respect on brother's name. If you're watching this, go subscribe. Go check him out on social media at
ICBTB Podcast. Yeah, check out the podcast at ICBTB Podcast. It can't be that bad podcast. I put out episodes.
He's basically doing what I want to do, but better.
Yeah. Stop that, dude. Don't compare. You got a great thing going.
I don't get inspired. You know, that's something I learned. You know, I used to compare my work and be like, oh, gosh, feeling bad. But now I can compare and be like, you know, this, I can be inspired. You know, now I just feel inspired when I see something that, like, used to make me be like, oh, you know. I think that's a really big thing, is being inspired by something instead of being insecure. You know, there's two ways you can take it. You'd be like, wow, I could get my work to look like that someday. Or you'd be like, wow, my work doesn't look like that. I'll never get there. You know?
You have to.
Half empty, cup half full.
Exactly. That's how you get there.
I'm almost there. I can get there someday.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for having me, dude. Follow the podcast, ICBTB Podcast, at Christian Has Asthma for my personal page. Shout out to you. Like and subscribe to this thing, because you got a great thing going on.
Tsunami 916. If you're listening to this, check out the full video on YouTube. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, give it a good rating on Apple Music. And y'all don't be doing that, so do that, please. Help get me help get it out there a little bit more. So thank you.
Hell yeah.
And thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good job, Jabari.